Justice involves advocating for reform legislation and government. Justice involves talking about digital spaces online that go unchecked and the mental health crisis that develops from that. Justice involves conversation of the glorification of unchrist-like principles in our world and culture. And for better answers, we need to start asking better questions. Like when we say we're pro-life, what life are we pro? When we talk about freedom, is it a freedom shaped by the gospel, self-sacrificial, life-giving freedom that reflects Christ's words in the kingdom? Or have we fallen in love with the love of mammon and comfort? And as the church, what's our role in speaking about this? Now, I understand we all have different views, and you may not agree with me, and I understand that. And to that I say, I need you in the body of Christ. We need each other in the body of Christ. I need your view and my view to talk and to pray and be together and empathize and learn from each other so that we can move toward meaningful change. One of the greatest witnesses of the church today needs to be, it should be, that we can share different views and still get together and worship the resurrected Lord Jesus. Being together with different opinions is a greater witness than we're seeing from our government nowadays. And I think the church should be better than that, that we can be together on this. Iron can only sharpen iron if we're in the same room together. So let's commit to being in the same room together, to conversation with each other, to finding solutions together. That all over here, that moments like this, where we don't know what to say, God has given us in his word a prayer for situations like this, when we feel overwhelmed. And it's called the prayer of lament. And a lament prayer is very simple. It's got three parts. The first part is a complaint to God. And that sounds kind of weird. Like, why would we complain to God? Should we not complain to God? But the Old Testament, they had no problems complaining to God. They had no problems going to God. And their complaints started with two phrases, either why or how long. Why, God, is this happening? Why, God, does this keep happening? How long, O Lord, until something changes? So we can start there by asking God, why, how long? Second part of a lament is an expression of how you're feeling. And I think we can handle that. Sadness, fear, anger, whatever it might be. And the third part is an expression in the trust of God. Because that, as followers of Christ, is what we got to remember in all of this. We can do advocacy. We can write to congresspeople, and you should. But lots of people can do those things. As Christ followers, what do we have that's unique? We have a message of eternal hope in Jesus Christ that frames everything that we do and everything that we are. Even this weekend, Memorial Day weekend, where we remember those who gave their life in service in America, as followers of Christ, we should always be pointing to a greater glory. If there's someone in your family, I acknowledge that today, and I want to say thank you. And as I, as many of you, have many military family friends, it can be a difficult day. It can be a hard day, and it's a hard life. And in their sacrifice, we always look back to Christ and him crucified. The hope not just for one country or one people group, but Christ, the hope of the whole world. As Paul says in Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven, and we are eagerly anticipating a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming. We have a future eternal hope that we are messengers of, and we cling to that hope with every prayer and every breath and every moment. That the evil moment, the moment of loss, does not have the final say, because Christ holds the keys to death, and in that we have hope. So let us remember that in all these moments, that we are these messengers of reconciliation, of making things right, of good news in this world. Let's take a moment and pray this morning. Lord, I echo the words of the psalmists who cried out, why? How long, O Lord? What is happening around us? What is going on? We grieve and we cry out and we look to you, Lord. Our hearts ached this week. We struggled this week. We wrestled this week. We cried out to you this week, Lord. And so help us, Lord, as we are convicted individually as people to do what you are calling us to do, whatever that might be, to write, to call, to speak, to come alongside, to love, to empathize, to support, pour into, to encourage. Lord, we pray for all the families in Uvalde, Lord, who are grieving today, who somehow found their way to get up and go to church this morning. We pray for them and the churches there who are ministering to those who are hurting and suffering, Lord. Holy Spirit, be with them. Give them your peace. Help them in this journey, Lord. And though we are hundreds of miles away, Lord, help us to remember them in our prayers. Help us to remember them and as you do, Lord, and cry out as you cry out, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your gift of Jesus Christ, that we have a future hope beyond this world and beyond this life. So may we be messengers of that as well. We be messengers of those who preach this good news, that Christ has come to redeem the broken places, that death does not have the final say, that we have a hope in you, a renewed hope, that you make all things new, that you are bringing us new life and new hope, and that you are calling us to that work. Oh Lord, in the midst of our pain and our hurt, in the midst of our crying out, we hold on to that hope. We hold on to you, Jesus, tightly. We cling to you. We cling to your cross, the message of salvation, the message of hope for our life and for this world. May we not be overcome, but keep our eyes on you and follow you where you would lead us. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, with that, I'm going to transition into the sermon today, which is Taste and See. We're going to talk about that, and I'm going to start today with a word about dentists. Do we have any dentists that are here? Just that. Okay, all right. Well, I struggle with dentists. I'm going to be honest and upfront. I have a phobia of dentists. We just moved here, and a few months ago, we got hooked up with a dentist. So Dr. James Lutz, which is Jen Ritchie's brother, is our dentist, and so we saw him. I got a picture of a dentist here. Just seeing this picture makes me like, right? I think for me, it's the sound, right? When they're doing the polishing in your mouth, that kind of makes me a little nervous. So dentists make me nervous. And so from the time I was 18 until the time I was 32, I did not go to the dentist. Full confession, right? Yes. Yeah. Somebody's with me. The time I went off my dad's insurance until we had dental insurance again, I did not go to the dentist. 14 years I did not go until we did get dental insurance, and Maria, of course, signed us up. Not me. Maria signed us up immediately to go to the dentist. And I remember sitting in that chair thinking, oh, it's been 14 years. What's he going to find? How many cavities do I got? You know, you hear those commercials about gingivitis. I don't even know what that is. It's like, I'm sure I got it, though. You know, I'm sure it's me. It's coming for me. So it was a rough appointment. He did a lot of scraping. He did cleaning and all that. But in the end, everything looked good. Praise the Lord. And it was actually funny. We got married at 22. And so Maria had never seen me with, like, clean dental teeth, like when they clean, you know, in between. And so, like, she saw me. I smiled. And she goes, whoa. And I'm like, is that a bad whoa? Like, I should have had my teeth cleaned before we got married or, you know, I don't know. So we're there at the dentist. We're leaving. He says, hey, looks great. I'll see you in 6 months. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Oh, when I was a kid, we went once a year to the dentist. That's it. Like, that's all we did. That's my dad took me. That was it. What is this 6 months nonsense? He says, oh, no, your insurance, it covers twice a year. So you can come in free regular cleanings, right? So just because it's free doesn't mean it's good, doctor. Like, I'm not interested in this. He goes, no, we're going to come in, we're going to check your teeth, we're going to see if you're doing all the things I told you to do. So, well, I guarantee you I'm not going to be flossing, right? That's not happening. So I apologize. And there's a great meme about that, by the way. I love memes. You go to the dentist and the dentist says, hey, when was the last time you flossed? And then you go, well, you were there, doc. You know exactly when it was. Yeah, and that's what's for me. You were there, doc. You know exactly the last time I flossed. So, mid-year checkup, he says, it's good. We can check in, see how you're doing, see how things are going. I mean, doctors and dentists, they know what they're doing, and I got to get over my things to have this check-in so that I'm not my teeth aren't falling out of my mouth, right? I need that. And today we're going to do a mid-year check-in for 2022. It's about the middle of the year. In a couple days, it's going to be June. So how are we doing mid-year in 2022? The year of 2022 was taste and see, I said in January, Psalm 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him, Psalm 34:8. For those who have forgotten or for those who are new and joined us since January, let me give you a brief recap about what we talked about in January. We talked about how sometimes we treat God like a buffet, We go and we grab what we want and we leave what we don't want. We say, I want the good. I want the forgiveness of God. I want this from God. But God is more than just the things that we grab. He is God. He is fully holy. And when we come to God, we got to experience all of God together. Buffets are cheap and easy and quick and tasteless, or they all taste the same, right? And it makes us consumers of God. And we're not made to be consumers of God. We're made to be tasters of God, to taste and see that God is good, to get all of his flavors, all of who he is, to experience him in all of his goodness and glory. Maybe this is ringing a bell for some of you from January. Don't treat God like a buffet that you run and grab what you want, but take him, treat him like a good meal that you taste and see that he is good. And so in 2022, I said, let's slow down a little bit. Let's taste and see God. I even made a bookmark that we still have plenty of out there if you want, with the definition of what it means to taste and see. The slow, intentional process of experiencing that God is trustworthy in all things. That's what it means to taste and see God. And so today I want to do a mid-year check-in. How are we doing with tasting and seeing God? Has the year gotten away from you? Has it been going so fast you haven't even had the chance to slow down and taste God and experience his goodness? You know, Memorial Day weekend is traditionally the beginning of summer. School is done. Work life slows down, unless you work at a camp, in which it doesn't. But for the rest of us, it does. The days get longer. We can kind of slow down a little bit. Are we doing that? Are we slowing down? I'm going to focus on that word slow today as we talk. And I got a clip. This is for you kids and for the adults. But kids, see if you recognize this movie. We got a clip here today to talk about slowness. Let's check it out.
Actually, I just remembered I have a pal at the DMV. Flash is the fastest guy in there. You need something done, he's on it.
I hope so. We are really fighting the clock and every minute counts. Wait. They're all sloths?
Saying that because he's a sloth, he can't be fast. I thought in Zootopia, anyone can be anything.
Flash, Flash, 100-yard dash. Buddy, it's nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too.
Hey, Flash, I'd love you to meet my friend. Darling, I've forgotten your name.
Officer Judy Howe, CPD, how are you?
I am doing just
fine?
As well as I can be. What?
Hang in there.
Can I do?
Well, I was hoping you could run a plane.
For you.
Well, I was hoping you could.
Today.
Well, I was hoping you could run a plane for us. We are in a really big hurry.
Sure. What's the plate?
29T.
Number.
29THD03. Zero.
Hey, Flash, want to hear a joke?
No!
Sure.
What do you call a three-humped camel?
I don't know. What do you call a
three-humped camel?
Three-humped camel.
Pregnant.
Wait,
Priscilla.
Yes? Flash?
What? Do?
No!
You called.
A three-humped camel! Pregnant! Okay, great, we got it!
Please, pumped. Just...
I love you. I owe you.
Hurry! We gotta beat the rush hour in. It's night!
All right. Anyone seen that movie? Yeah. Anyone living in the world and feeling like Officer Judy sometimes? Like, come on, let's go, right? We can feel like that when we're going too fast, right? This, I know y'all only come about once or twice a week. This light over here is making me feel like Officer Judy. This stoplight over here is testing my sanctification because it takes forever for this light to turn. And so I'm feeling like Officer Judy every day at this light. Like, come on, let's go. Green, nobody's here. Let's turn green, right? We can feel like that sometimes. Life makes us feel like that. We're jumping around. We're like, okay, I got to do something, right? And today I want to talk about the opposite of that. Maybe not quite the sloth, but slowness, what it means to be slow and why being slow is actually a good thing. Why being slow is actually a good thing from God. In our culture, let's face it, we don't do slow. We don't like slow. Slow is almost like a bad word. We have fast food. We have fast internet. We have fast cars. We want fast customer service. Here's another meme for you. There was this meme of in the 90s, we used to have dial-up internet, right? Remember that? And like where we're good to sit for 3 minutes while the dial-up connected. But now, if our internet takes like more than 2 seconds, right? Refresh, close the browser, Control-Alt-Delete. Right? I can't wait 2 seconds for my internet to load now. We don't do slow anymore. It's all about fast. And in January, I challenged us. I said, let's slow down a little bit. Here's what I said. Let's see if this rings a bell. When we find ourselves running from event to event, trying to consume what we can, we run the danger that God becomes just one more thing that we consume each week. We run the danger that God becomes just one more scoop from the buffet rather than the thing we've come to taste. God did not create you to consume him. He created you to taste him, to taste and see that he is good. And so today I want to look at three places in our Bible where it talks about slowness, being slow, and why slow is a good thing. Three understandings of being slow. So first is this. Our God is a slow God. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. It is one of the characteristics of God that he's a slow God. It tells us he is slow to anger. Our God is slow to anger and rich in love. You might know the story of Exodus. God gives Moses the commandments. He takes the commandments. He goes down the hill. He sees everyone's breaking God's commands, smashes the tablets. I got to go back up the mountain. I got to get more commandments, right? And he goes up the second time, and God says, I'm going to reveal myself to you, my glory to you, Moses. And he says, as you're there in the mountain, I'm going to pass by, and I'll tell you my name. And God's name ends up being full of his characteristics of who he is. And God says this, Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy, I am slow to anger. I'm filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin, but I do not excuse the guilty. I lay the sin of the parents on their children and their grandchildren and the entire families affected, even children to the third and fourth generations. His name is his characteristics, and we talk about some of these a lot, that he is unfailing love. He lavishes his love. He is faithful to 1,000 generations. He is compassionate. He is merciful. Here's one we don't talk about a lot, that he's slow to anger. Our God is slow to anger. What does that mean, that he is slow to anger? You know, I've shared with some of you before, one of my deep struggles is I've been delivered and still wrestle with a short temper and anger. I still struggle with that every single day. And part of that issue that I struggle with is when I feel angry about something, I just want to do it. I want to lash out about it. I want to take care of it now. And thank God that God doesn't act that way. That when he's angry about something, he just lashes out immediately about it. Think about all the times in Scripture that he said, oh, my people, I'm so angry at my people. What if he just lashed out? But he's slow to anger, it says. God is able to control his emotions so he doesn't react based on what he's feeling like in that moment. And that's a very, very good thing for us. And look at the rest of this. He is slow to anger, which means he lavishes his love on us. He forgives iniquity, rebellion, and sin. The slowness of God is a good thing. It is a mercy of God. It is good that he is slow to anger. So let's celebrate and rejoice with that today. Second thing about slowness, God calls us to slowness. That's what Sabbath is. Sabbath is an act of slowness. It removes us from the fast-paced ways of the world and allows us to consider God and his goodness. In Genesis chapter 2, God creates everything and it says the heavens and earth were completed. The seventh day, God had finished his work. And on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because he rested on it. And all the work was done. Not because he was tired on the seventh day. That's not why he rested. He rested because he trusted that the 6 days of work he did was enough. And that's the practice that we do. That when we practice Sabbath, what we're saying, the 6 days of work I've done is enough. I'm going to trust that that's enough. And on the seventh day, I'm going to rest from my work and taste and see that God is good. Sabbath is a day to slow down and to trust God that he is enough. Again, the book of Exodus, God tells his people, they go get manna in the wilderness. He says, go for 5 days, and on the sixth day, get 2 days' worth. It'll last so that you can trust me on that sixth day. And some do and some don't. Some try and go out the seventh day, if you know the story, and they find rotten food on the ground. They don't find the manna. Sabbath is a practice of slowness that pulls us away from thinking that we are in control and trusting God on that Sabbath day of rest. Pete Scazzaro, I've mentioned him a million times. I love his stuff. He says this about the speed of life. He says, you cannot live at warp speed without warping your soul. Right? There's some truth to that. You can't live at warp speed without warping your soul. If you keep going and going, one thing to the next, you're not just physically tired, you're warping your soul. You're affecting your relationship with others and your relationship with God. God calls us to slow down, to slowness. And then he gives us four examples. He actually gives more, but I pulled four of my favorites of what it looks like when you're living at warp speed. First one is this. Your alone time is in the bathroom. Right? If that's your only alone time during the day, you got a problem. You're going too fast. You're going too fast. A quick email check turns into an hour. Anyone been there? I'm just going to check my email real quick, and an hour and a half later, you're still checking your email. Right? You're going too fast. You're trying to do too much. You find yourself jealous and angry when someone else is enjoying life. Ever looked at someone else's vacation photos? Like, oh, they got to go on vacation. Look over there. I'm stuck at work. I'm stuck doing this. Ah, you're going too fast. You're doing too much. Slow down. Slow down. You learn about others' days from their Facebook posts, not conversation. Right? And we've gotten so used to this. Like, I'll just check Facebook and see how people's day went. That it's not a big thing, but really, you should see how people are doing by talking to them, right? Like, hey, how was your day? Like, particularly your spouse. If the only way you find out about your spouse's day is through Facebook, you know, this is interesting. I mean, maybe one day it's like that, but if it becomes a regular thing, you are living at warp speed. You're warping your soul, Pete Scazzaro says. We're not made for that. We're made for slowness. We're made for rest. We're made for trusting God in those moments. Third thing of slowness, Jesus practiced slowness. The crowds of people wanted to see him. He had to step away and be with the Father. The most important list that Jesus kept was not his to-do list. It was his prayer list. He stepped away and prayed. He said, I got to be with the Father. I got to know what's going on here before I can heal all you people.